Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Bob Taylor. And Bob is a retired Air Force major who flew combat operations during Operation Desert Storm. He's also the author of the book From Service to Success. And today, Bob is on a new mission, addressing the struggles that veterans and their families face by helping them transition into civilian life. So welcome to the show, Bob. I'm glad to have you here.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for the invitation. I'm grateful to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. For the listeners who maybe aren't familiar with you and your background, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm just kind of an average Joe Midwest guy, went to Michigan State University, graduated with a degree in engineering and took a right-hand turn one day of my senior year, took that turn into the Air Force recruiter and decided to be a navigator in the Air Force. And 9 months later, there I was, and went through officers training school and specialized training for navigation. And then was assigned to B-52s at Griffiths Air Force Base. Did that towards the end of my service there. We ended up in combat operations, Operation Desert Storm, flying missions out of an island called Diego Garcia, which is almost on the exact opposite side of the earth. You know you're in the middle of nowhere when you describe yourself as being 700 miles from Madagascar. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's when I knew I was way out there. But anyway, I did that time and decided to pursue a civilian career after that and rejoined and went into the Air Force Reserves as a KC-135 navigator. And then finished up my Air Force career as an Air Force Academy liaison officer. But I was very blessed when I left active duty. My best friend in college worked for a company that had an opening, and so I started out in R&D, then went into manufacturing, marketing, and then had the good fortune to be able to start up my first business with a couple of partners, and then sold my interest in that company and started Alliant Healthcare about 20 years ago. And so I've, like I said, I've been very blessed to have the good fortune and success. And but I had my struggles along the way. After we got back from Diego Garcia, I started having these terrible nightmares. And I could, you know, no rhyme or reason. I didn't have any hand-to-hand combat, but the nightmares were extremely violent, and I didn't know what caused them. But 6 months later, they just went away. And so I thought I'd kind of gotten past it. But about 16 years later, they resurfaced again. And they were worse. And I got to the point where I didn't want to go to sleep. And so I was struggling, and I got to the point where I just wasn't the person I wanted to be, and sleep deprivation does terrible things to people. So that's when I decided I can't do this on my own. I'm going to the VA for help.
Yeah, and that's, I think a lot of people are finding themselves in similar situations where they have that situation where they just don't feel like themselves, whether it's nightmares or just other things going on in their lives. They just feel like whatever is going on, they're not the same person that they used to be, and they feel stuck. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. But like you went to the VA and, you know, tried to get some help. And we'll talk a little bit more about that after the break, but we're going to cut now to a quick commercial break. When we return, we're going to talk about some of the challenges and, the experience that you had in the Air Force during Desert Storm and some of the struggles that veterans and their families might address during the transition period after getting out of the military. So stay tuned.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Veterans, note the upcoming August 10th date to apply for PACT Act benefits. The law expands benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits and toxics while serving. If you apply before that date and VA grants your application, VA will likely backdate your benefits to the date of the bill signing, August 10, 2022. This means VA will pay you the amount you would have received from August 10, 2022 to the date we grant your application. If you're not ready to submit a claim by then, you can submit an intent to file and still receive the same effective date. Learn more at va.gov/pact.
Bob, I want to talk about some of those experiences that you had in the Air Force during Operation Desert Storm. And how did that those experiences help your understanding of the challenges that veterans face after their military career? You talked a little bit about some of your challenges just a minute ago with some of these nightmares and things like that. Were any of them kind of related to the work that you did in Operation Desert Storm?
Well, you know, I think a lot of the challenges that veterans face are kind of steeped in how much training we get. Our mindsets are shaped when we go through officer training school or boot camp, and then you go through more specialized training, and you start to perform at an extremely high level. The crew that I was with, I think we were just so well trained. We had practiced together over and over again, and we knew exactly what we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do it. So even in a combat environment, it was just part of the job. So that's one thing about military is going into a firefight, going towards enemy fire, it's part of what you're trained to do, and you train for it so much that you accept it. But it's that high level of training and that high level of performance that sets us up for challenges after we're done.
Right. And I think some of those challenges and that the performance that you were talking about, you know, they do train us to deal with some of these high stress situations. But sometimes when you're getting into, whether it's OCS or boot camp, you're trained to put the uniform on and be the soldier, the airman, or whatever it is that the job is that you have. But oftentimes I've found in discussions with other veterans is they don't do an incredibly great job at teaching you to take the uniform off and transfer into civilian life, right?
So that's a big part of what I'm trying to explain to people is our mindsets were shaped by the military training, discipline, you know, problem solving, using specialized equipment, all that stuff was conditioned into us. And then when you get out, so what the military does is it takes many individuals and it melts that down into one mindset, one mission focused, purpose-filled mindset. So people know exactly what they're supposed to do. So it goes from many to one. And then when we get out, we have to go back from one to many. And there's no training for that. So all the tools that were valuable to us in the military, the discipline, the following orders, using all the tools that were given, none of that really is applying in our civilian role, and we need to learn completely new skill sets to prepare for that. And I'll just use an example, like gratitude. If I talk to veterans, most of them just kind of scoff at the thought of what do you need? What do you mean I need to practice gratitude? Well, you're trying to reshape your mindset from what it was. And so you have to start using tools that you haven't heard of before you haven't practiced before, things like gratitude, self-forgiveness, you know, goal setting, thinking about a new future. No one is talking about that. And that's what I found in my research when I wrote my book, From Service to Success, is that there really is not a good roadmap for how people reshape their minds so that they, what I say is your best days are not behind you because you served. Your best days are in front of you. And it's not just going to land in your lap. You have to do the right things to make sure that that bright future comes to you.
Right. And I, now, when you were doing the research and you wrote your book, what were some of the steps that you found to be helpful in addressing some of these struggles that, that veterans and their maybe even their families have during this transition period? And what were some of the steps that they could take to make this an easier transition?
So what I, one of my life's biggest regrets is that I did not get help sooner. It took me the 16 years between my episodes of nightmares to get help. But in truth, I had other things going on like depression, irritability, anger issues. All those things were going on, but I was kind of just dealing with it, or I was trying to deal with it. And I think the number one thing is when someone suffers from depression, the human tendency is to withdraw. And the number one worst thing for someone with depression is to withdraw. That's when we need people around us. That's when we need encouragement. That's when we need our tribe, so to speak. And so what I try to explain in the book and the research I found is we have to do things that are kind of anti what we feel like we should do or what we believe that we should do. It's just antithetical to our thinking or the way that our bodies respond. So getting help from someone, asking for help, is the most important step that any veteran can take. They don't have to do it on their own. They honestly probably can't do it on their own because they don't have the training or expertise. So you have to ask for help.
Right. And asking for help is such a hard thing for the type A personality type people who are, you find a lot of in the military where they're these rough and tough kind of people, and they are out there trying to conquer the world. And well, why would I need help if I'm this type of person who can go out there and do all these great things? I'm not going to need help. And that's kind of the mindset that a lot of us have. And so we don't go and get help. And then we, like you were talking about, we go further and further down this dark hole. You know, whether it's into depression or, you know, other things like that. And it just doesn't help when you isolate yourself from everybody else, right?
No. And, you know, the thing that I'm trying to do with this book is I've got a big effort to try and get people to donate by going to our website, patriotpromise.org. Go there, buy a book. We automatically donate books. But I'm trying to get like 100,000 of these books in the hands of veterans just to increase the visibility to it. But the point I try and make to veterans is I'll be speaking in a couple of months to a LPGA group of people. Why does a veteran want to speak to an LPGA? Well, there are going to be veterans in the crowd. And what's interesting is the PGA and LPGA have these events where they train veterans or they teach veterans how to golf. And so that's a perfect example. If you start to golf, you don't just normally know, you know, who picks up a set of clubs and is great at golfing. You have to get trained. You have to get taught on how to use a sand wedge, how to use a an iron? How far do you set the tee? How do you line up on the ball? All those things, they're not just intuitive.
Right.
So if we can accept that on something as simple as learning how to play a game of golf, why can't we accept that in order for us to kind of shift our mental mindset, that we need to talk to someone that is a trained professional on how we can. I didn't know that there are exercises that you can do to help you stop having nightmares. I didn't know that. But sure enough, after I practiced those exercises, my nightmare stopped. I didn't know that I could kind of rethink about how I interpreted things that people say or things that I do or how I perceive the world. If I change my perception of that, it changes the outcome of the conversation. And so it's just like if you break your leg, you go see a doctor and they put it in a cast. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Yeah.
But if you have some depression and some irritability and you're struggling, it's not a big deal to say, I need to go get help.
You know, and I've always said too, things like you said, like if you have a problem with your car and you go to the mechanic and you get it repaired, nobody thinks twice about that. It's like, why would you bring a car to a mechanic? Why didn't you just fix it yourself? Well, I'm not a mechanic, and there's computers and stuff like that in these cars these days that I don't know how to fix. So I'm not the guy to do it. You know, I've said that about so many different things. Going to get your hair cut. Well, you know, just cut it yourself. Well, okay, fine. If I want to look like a clown, I'll cut it myself. But like, it's just not the way that these things work. And perfect example is going to, you know, get your arm in a cast. Why don't you just suck it up and deal with it? Well, because my arm's flopping around like this and I can't really do much with it that way. Like, obviously you're going to go get it fixed. And, you know, when you're talking about golf, you have people who are trained professionals who can train you how to play a game like that and teach you how to do it the right way. And then you get better at it. And amazing, you know, you practice, you get better. And yeah. So it's just, you know, this mind block that we have that just prevents us from getting the help that we need. We're going to cut to a quick commercial break, but when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about this and some of the roadblocks and barriers that a lot of veterans face when they're seeking the new mission in their life and trying to find a new sense of purpose. So stay tuned. The Hero Company is more than just a brand. It's a force of change. As a veteran-owned and operated company, they stand shoulder to shoulder with our brave servicemen and women. Their mission is to help provide service dogs for veterans suffering from PTSD, all at zero cost to them. Every purchase you make from The Hero Company helps fund this crucial initiative. They offer a wide range of products, including jewelry, apparel, keychains, stickers and decals, dog collars, and everyday carry items. It's a chance to wear your support and make a tangible difference. To date, The Hero Company has raised over $1.2 million, but their fight continues. Their goal is to raise $10 million to ensure veterans in need receive the service and companion animals that can change their lives. By buying from The Hero Company, you're not just making a purchase, you're intentionally being a hero for our heroes who need our help now. Join the mission. Visit this episode's show notes or theherocompany.co/driveon to shop and support our veterans. Together, we can make a heroic impact and honor those who fought for us. Bob, could you talk to us a little bit about some of the common roadblocks or the barriers that veterans face when they're seeking a new mission and a sense of purpose after leaving the military service?
So what I, when I have these conversations with veterans, I just try and help remind them that, look, the training that you received when you went into the military, probably not easy. The missions that you went on, probably not always easy. Probably some big challenges that you faced, but you overcame them. So when you get out, you can't expect everything to be easy. You have to continue to keep working and striving to overcome some of the challenges that you face. So sometimes there's frustration with veterans that want to seek help, but find it really hard to get into the VA. That wasn't my experience. It wasn't necessarily just walking up and getting an appointment, but you can't get frustrated and just give up on this stuff. So that's one of the roadblocks, is sometimes it can be a little bit of a challenge to get the things that you need. But the other thing is, in the military, we're kind of more told what to do. You know, there's not a lot of self-direction. There's some, obviously, and we can kind of choose our paths in the military, but there's also, it's very directive. Well, when we get out, doesn't exist anymore. So we're on our own path. So one of those roadblocks is just having the determination and the drive to figure out what your new path is. And you can't be lazy. You can't just, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to take whatever job comes my way. Or you're going to get back what you put into something. And so that's kind of my big pitch on that.
Yeah. And I think that goes with anything in life. It's not just your career transition or, you know, anything. I mean, relationships, you're going to get out of a relationship, whatever it is that you put into the relationship, your physical fitness. If you are constantly putting junk into your body and never working out, exercising, you're not going to be the most physically fit person. Like, it's just not how that works. So, you know, if the inputs are good and you're putting the work in, you're putting the effort in, then you can expect better results. Now, maybe you're putting the effort in, but you're putting in the wrong effort. Just use the gym example for a second here. You could be going to the gym and say you're trying to lose weight, but you don't seem to be losing weight, but you're not doing maybe enough cardio, for example. I don't know. And you're doing all these different exercises. None of it seems to be working. But you're not doing the right type of work, then you're not going to get the results that you're expecting. And I think the same thing with a career or, you know, any other area. If you're transitioning out of the military and you want to be, you know, running a business, or you be a manager of something, and you have no idea how to do that type of work, and you're not putting the effort in to learn how to do that type of thing, you can't expect yourself to get there either, right?
You're exactly right. The stuff isn't going to come. You have to, just as what you did in the service of working hard towards specific goals, working with a team, that's the other thing, is when we're in the military, very, very little happens from someone doing something on their own. It's almost impossible to get something done on your own when you're in the military. Well, if teamwork is a really good tool for success in the military, maybe teamwork is a really good tool when we get out. And so it's really important who we surround ourselves with, who's our team.
Right. And that team, I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is reaching out and getting help when you need the help, and finding the right people to help you. Whether it's a therapist or a career counselor or someone who can mentor you, guide you, help you out in whatever situation it is. But it's even just the people in your day-to-day life. It's not necessarily those specialists who are going to help with, those are more like the surgeons who can do that special thing. But the people in your life are the ones who will notice when you're not yourself, you know, a spouse or a child, someone who you live with. Those people will notice and be like, hey, something seems off. Are you okay? And that they'll be able to help you figure out what it is that you need to do, right?
Scott, that's one of the big issues with veterans is, so I told you, so there's 22 million veterans in the country. About 11 million of those men and women struggle in some way, whether it's PTSD, depression, not able to really find their next identity and all that. But what they their natural response is to withdraw, right? So many of those 11 million feel isolated. The other ones, it's kind of related to isolated, but they feel like no one understands them. So you've got 11 million people feeling like they're alone and no one understands them. Well, the fact is, there's a lot of people that understand. There's a lot of people that want to help. And there's a lot of people that want to kind of walk alongside you. One of the best benefits that I see in the book From Service to Success is the ability for the non-veterans to read the book, because they're going to learn a lot about what veterans face. And the more prepared the spouses or the father or mother, we met a woman at the VA Battle Creek. Her son was an Air Force veteran, and she was excited to read it so that she could understand what her son was facing because he was struggling. So I think this book is not just for the veteran. It's for the families. It's for the friends. It's for anyone that wants to see their veteran, their loved one, succeed.
Yeah, and that's the similar thing that I get from this show all the time. I get messages from people, or just comments from people who have heard the show. They're not a veteran, but a loved one is. Maybe it's their child or their spouse or somebody that they know, and those people are struggling with one thing or another. They don't know how to help their loved one. And so they listen to the show, they get ideas, they get, different, tips. And one woman actually told me that she listens to the episodes and she bookmarks timestamps of, relevant segments that would be of interest to her son. And so he may not be ready to listen to it right now, but there may come a time that he is ready. Right. And as opposed to listening to, 45 minute hour long episode, he can just fast forward to the 10 minute mark and listen to this next 5 minute segment. And this is the impactful thing. I am totally fine with that. Like, pick apart the episodes, listen to the relevant parts.
Right.
But same thing with your book. And you talked about that, how your book is helping people and helping the civilians understand. But in your book, I do want to talk about your book a little bit too. You talk about the importance of self-forgiveness and healthy living habits for veterans. We talked a little bit about health earlier. I'm not sure if that was directly correlated to the book, but could you talk about some of the things, why these aspects are critical for the journey towards finding this new purpose and this transition, making it a success?
Right. So we talked a little bit about gratitude earlier, and that's part of that mental shift to open our minds to see, because it's hard to be practicing gratitude and feel crappy about your situation. Right. They just don't go well together. So being grateful starts to open your mind to start seeing things to be grateful for. And then the self-forgiveness is related in that sometimes veterans are their own worst enemy. They blame themselves for things that really are not in their control. I should have been on that mission and then Bill wouldn't have died, or I'm the one that was supposed to be there, or I should have been there to protect him, or whatever the decision, whatever those circumstances are. When people hold on to that and ruminate over those things, it does not do the person that was actually hurt probably forgave or would have forgiven. And we're just carting this stuff around to our own detriment. And so that self-forgiveness is really, really critical. And the whole process, the health, the mindfulness, the things that we're trying to do, all we're trying to do is reshape our minds to be ready for a new chapter. And when we open our minds, good things are going to happen.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to do, to forgive yourself for some of those things. And I know from personal experience, I've experienced things where, I've beaten myself up and blamed myself. And, if I was to take that same situation, apply it to somebody else, some other third party and I'm the one talking to them, I'd be like, dude, you've got nothing to worry about. Like, that wasn't your fault. You shouldn't be blaming yourself. But then that inner voice, that inner critic is basically the one that's out there knocking you down, telling you that you're the worst, you're terrible, you did all these bad things, when in reality, it wasn't your fault at all. And so, yeah, we need to do a better job at forgiving ourselves and letting the past be in the past and kind of learn from it, but move on to the future.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So we're going to take another quick break to pay the bills here. But when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Patriot Promise Foundation and how it helps veterans navigate the mental and emotional aspects of transitioning. So stay tuned. Attention military veterans and families. Are you ready to conquer the civilian job market? Monster Resume Writing Service is here to support your transition. Their team of certified resume writers specializes in helping veterans like you. They'll create a custom resume that highlights your military experience, translating it into a language that civilian employers understand. They understand the unique challenges you face, from navigating career shifts to finding the right opportunities. That's why their experts will tailor your resume to your specific career goals, ensuring that you stand out from the competition. They optimize your resume with keywords to match job postings and past recruiters' screening software. Monster Resume Writing Service is dedicated to helping you succeed. Visit the link in this episode's show notes to learn more about how they can help you take the next step in your civilian career. Bob, I want to, now that we're back here, I want to talk a little bit about the mission and the goals of the Patriot Promise Foundation, you know, where that foundation came from and how it helps veterans navigating the difficult aspects of transitioning.
So I formed the Patriot Promise Foundation as I was doing the research for the book. And I identified this gap. First of all, not all veterans are seeking help. But this loss of identity when people leave the military, and that there's this absence of tools of, okay, how do I do a reset? How do I reshape my mind? How do I accomplish great things in my life? And when you take someone, and it happens to athletes too, when you have someone that's ending their college career and they can't make it into pros, they feel lost. When you have a pro that ends their career because of age, they're lost. They feel like they have done the best thing in life that they can do, and now what? And that's what a lot of people in the military feel. So the whole thing with Patriot Promise Foundation is to help create a path to help veterans discover their best life. Because, like I said, their best days are not behind them. Their best days are in front of them. We just have to figure out what the path is to get from where we're at to our best life in the future.
Yeah. And it's a difficult thing too. I talked to a veteran friend of mine who recently got out of the military a few months ago, and he's looking for work, trying to figure out what that next stage in his life is going to be. And he's gotten himself, followed all the tips and tricks, got himself on LinkedIn. He's looking for jobs and all that kind of stuff. And he sees all the people that he went to high school with, or, you know, grew up with, people like that, that he found on there. And they're all advanced in their career, their management level or executive levels and stuff like that at this stage in life. And he feels like he's on the ground floor and he's not able to get to that point. But there's so much experience that he's had, even if he doesn't go into the job that, that he was doing in the military, you know, there's so much experience in the military that he has that he could apply to other fields, right, other careers. He's able to take a step above. Like, he doesn't have to necessarily start at the ground floor 100%. Like, there may be some education that needs to be done depending on what career path he decides to choose. But, you know, it's not like you're walking in day one as like a high school graduate and you have no experience whatsoever, you know, and I think employers see that too, right?
Yeah, Scott, because I'm an author, I guess people want me to write articles. So I just recently wrote an article that was titled CEOs and Veterans, Two Ships Passing in the Night. And the basis of the article is that, you know, CEOs, the HR departments are looking for skills. You know, do you have experience with spreadsheets and, you know, computer software, and do you have specific experience? And veterans have a set of skills that cannot be communicated into the civilian world. I mean, how many openings for B-52 navigators are there?
Or infantrymen,
infantrymen, or, you know, a turret gunner, or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it just doesn't translate. So what needs to happen is kind of a meeting of the minds. The HR people, the CEOs, need to be looking for talent. And that talent is leadership, is drive, determination, dedication, people that work in a team environment. And the veterans need to start communicating those things. Instead of talking about or acting like they don't really deserve, they have to have the belief in themselves that, look, I was put into literally, I'm battle tested. I can take a stressful situation and do things that other people can't accomplish in that environment. I've had years and years of leadership training. I can work with a group of people and accomplish incredible outcomes. So the language has to change. The expectations on the CEO part and the language needs to change on the from the viewpoint of the veteran as well. And until that happens, it's going to be two ships passing in the night.
Yeah, and trying to figure out how to translate the military service into civilian experience is a challenge for a lot of veterans. They know they have the experience. They know they've led troops. They've done lots of different things. They're tested under extremely stressful conditions, more stressful than you'll ever see in, you know, a conference room or, you know, a cubicle that you might be sitting in at, you know, some office somewhere. And so they know that they can handle stressful situations. They know all of this, but how do you translate that into civilian speak? And I think there needs to be, like you said, that meeting of the minds, and have the HR people being able to recognize some of this stuff as an asset that can be used within their companies, right?
Well, veterans, you know, statistics show veterans are more likely to stay with the company longer. They're more likely to overcome obstacles. You know, I struggle with that in my own business. Is people tend to kind of get stuck when they're faced with challenges. And military veterans are, you know, we face obstacles every day of our military career, and it's just not something that we tolerate. And we're used to working around situations to get a successful outcome. So part of it is we need to do a better job of communicating what we're capable of and how to tell those stories. The other part is we need to be better prepared to pursue our own passions. You know, when we do a job interview for a job, it shows you're just there for a job. And I always tell people, I'm not looking for someone to fill a job. I'm looking for someone that has a passion, the intellectual curiosity, the drive, the determination to succeed in almost any situation. And when we start having those conversations, good things will happen.
Right. And when someone is passionate about something, they have that drive and determination, their willingness to invest time and effort into the job and the career, you're going to get more out of it, as opposed to someone who's just waking up looking at it like it's a job, like it's a, okay, I'm going to go punch the clock and punch in, punch out, and I'm just going to be here and collect a paycheck. That person's not going to be all that successful in that position. They may find success elsewhere when they inevitably leave the company, but for the time that they're at that company in that particular role, they're not going to be as successful as they could be. Right.
Right. So what I advise some of my own employees, and I give the advice to veterans, is find something that is greater than yourself. Find something that you can put in on behalf of someone else's benefit, and you'll start to discover things about yourself that you didn't know. That's one of the things about military service, is it's service beyond ourselves. You take care of the people around you. Men and women have died for their comrades in very terrible situations. They'll sacrifice their lives for these people. And so that same self-sacrifice is important once you get out of the military to rediscover. Find another place where you can do something that serves a purpose beyond yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's so much easier to want to do that thing if it's something serving other people, serving something bigger than yourself. Because we can be lazy with ourselves, I think, sometimes where it's like, right. Oh, well, maybe I just won't do that thing today because it's for me. And, I don't necessarily need it or whatever. Think about, going back to earlier in the episode, we were talking about like exercise and fitness. If I'm losing weight just for me, so what if I'm a little bit overweight? It doesn't really matter. But I also have kids and a wife, and I want to be here. I want to be here a long time for them.
You want to be a good grandpa.
I want to be a good grandfather, and maybe even a great grandfather someday. If I'm fortunate enough to. But if I just let myself go and fall apart, I'm not going to be around that long to be able to experience that. So, I would think that in that case, like, I'm doing that for somebody else too. Yes, I have the benefits of, I'm not in as much pain, or I'm not, struggling to catch my breath as I'm climbing up the stairs, and like, there's that side benefit for me, but I'm there, I'm doing it for other people too. And that is what pushes me and gets me up in the morning to go work out and go get that, that exercise. But it's the same thing with, anything else that you're doing. If you're doing it as a sense of service, you'll end up doing it better than if it was just solely for yourself, right?
You get, I try and help create wealth for every employee that works for me. And I try and create a great work environment for them. I get something back, I get to help other people. I get to help their family change because of the wealth that we're trying to create. But that feeds me. That makes me feel better as, a CEO, as a father, someone that, I'm doing things that my family can be proud of. So I get something back.
Right. And with that, from your perspective, those people now have the ability to keep a roof over their head, food on the table. They're saving for their kids, education, and they're doing all sorts of things. And but that's because of the opportunities that you're providing to them. And obviously there's their own hard work and things like that, that is necessary as well, because I'm pretty sure you wouldn't keep them employed for too long if they weren't putting in the effort. But, right. But if the company didn't exist, then there just wouldn't be that type of stuff, that benefit for them. So, yeah, I could see how you doing what you do is a way to help those people in your company. So, it's serving other people. Yes, you get the benefit too, because if they are doing well, your business is doing well, there's a benefit for you, but also there's that side benefit of helping them as well. We're going to cut to another quick commercial break, so stay tuned. Calling all passionate patriots. The Patriot Box is a testament to our love for this great nation we call home. Founded by veterans, they believe in celebrating the values that built America: courage, imagination, and unrelenting determination. The Patriot Box curates hand-selected boxes packed with useful, fun, and delightful American-made products carefully chosen to honor our forefathers and embody the spirit of our nation. Join Patriot Box's community of compatriots and receive your very own Patriot Box, a treasure chest of proudly American-made goods delivered right to your doorstep. Each box represents a celebration of American craftsmanship supporting local small businesses that embody the spirit of passionate entrepreneurs across the country. But it doesn't stop there. With every Patriot Box purchased, you're also making a difference. A portion of the proceeds goes to support veteran charities honoring those who have served our country. Join them in embracing the pride of living in the greatest country on earth. Visit the link in our show notes to learn more and get your own Patriot Box delivered with pride. Bob, we were talking just a little while ago about the Patriot Promise Foundation and your book, From Service to Success. For the listeners and the viewers, could you tell people where they can go to find out more information about either how to get a copy of the book or more information about the foundation?
Sure. So there's a couple things that I would ask the listeners is please go to our Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram at The Patriot Promise. That's a way to kind of keep in touch with things that I have a series coming up called The Shoulders We Stand On. It kind of reflects on, I interviewed a 99-year-old World War II veteran who was a navigator in B-24s. And so it's just a way to stay connected. But the other place is to go is it's patriotpromise.org. And the thing that I mentioned earlier is that I'm trying to donate as many of these books and get them into the hands of veterans through, you know, the gracious donations that we've received. I've already been able to donate about 1,800 books. And that makes me feel really, really good. I gave them out to the VA in Louisville, Nashville, Atlanta, Orlando, Miami, and then along the East Coast. By the time I got back up to Michigan, the VA in Louisville called and asked for more. because the veterans love the book. So I would just ask people to go there, learn a little bit about the foundation. But right now I'm running a promotion where every book purchased, I'm doubling the donations. So for every book bought, I donate two books. There's a way to buy one. It used to be buy one, donate five. Now we're donating 10. And at the top, it's buy one, and we'll donate 20 books. So there's a path for us to get many, many books into hands of veterans who need them. And like I said, not just the veterans, but their family members as well.
Yeah, and I think that's an important aspect of it too, that a lot of times people don't think about when servicing or providing services for veterans or even materials like books and other things like that, is that they try to push and get it into the hands of the veterans, but the veterans may just not be in a place where they're ready to accept that help. Exactly. or get that kind of feedback or information. So getting it in the hands of their loved ones, I mean, if they have people in their lives who care about them, who want to help them see that they're struggling, they're going to do anything to try to figure this out. And if they don't understand what it is that they're going through, they're going to want to learn about what it is that they're going through and how they can help them. So yeah. So your book, From Service to Success, is one of those tools that people can use to help guide them to figure out what is going on. What's the next best step for my loved one to overcome whatever it is that they're going through? It could be mental health related issues, career transition, any number of different things.
And it's for all ages.
Sure.
It's for all ages. The, you know, the statistics are pretty staggering for the number of veteran suicides. So, you know, it's pretty well known. It's about 22 veterans a day die from suicide. But what's absolutely stunning about that is 640 veterans are attempting suicide every day. And almost 1,800 veterans are actually planning out their suicide every day. So what was surprising to me in my research is that veterans my age, kind of the in the 60s and 70s, were one of the largest groups of people who are dying from suicide. And so this isn't a condition that only impacts the 23-year-olds that are getting out and having served several tours in Afghanistan or Iraq. These are guys that have served in Vietnam, in the Korean conflict, and in whatever conflict. Sometimes it's not even a combat veteran that struggles. It's just someone that served their country, did a phenomenal job, and then gets out and gets lost.
Right.
And so I just want to kind of stress the fact that this isn't just for the young. It's anyone that has served or has a loved one that has served. I think this book is going to help. And that's the feedback that I'm getting. People that I've had a chance to talk to have, you know, it's not like they use the book as a manual for life, and that's not my expectation, but there's a nugget in there for somebody.
Sure, absolutely. Well, we'll have links to everything that you mentioned in the show notes for this episode, so anyone who wants to check it out there. Bob, thank you so much again for taking the time to join us. I really do appreciate you sharing this information with me and the audience.
And Scott, thank you for the invitation. And like I said, I'm very grateful to you and your audience for the time to talk about this. I think it's important.
You bet. Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.